Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome back to the Wolverine.com podcast. I'm John Borton here with Tom Crawford, our weekly guest on the podcast. And Tom, good to have you back as always.
Always a pleasure to be back, JP, even though I'm a little distraught over that controversial loss of Louisville Cardinals for Michigan baseball. I know we're going to talk about that and some other things, but time does heal, right?
Absolutely. Time does heal. It probably hasn't healed some yet. It's a little early for that, but we are definitely going to talk about Michigan baseball among a host of topics in a kind of a lightning round podcast. I want to lead it off with this, though. There's a very big decision coming in a couple days from CJ Carr, who is a five-star quarterback. Obviously, the grandson of one Lloyd Carr, who delivered Michigan's first national championship in 50 years, among other things. Great family, really, really solid people all around. And yet I think they're getting a little bit of heat here because CJ Carr, there's a lot of feeling that it's not going to be the Wolverines in the end for him. I would just say this to Michigan fans, understand that you are not going to get them all, and that just because your last name is Carr, you are not bound to Michigan, to Ann Arbor. You do yourselves no good if a family like this comes away feeling really bad about the circumstances surrounding their son's decision to go to college. And I would just say, lay off.
I couldn't have stated it better, JB. And, I agree totally. What a tremendous family, the Carr family, with what they've gone through, the hurdles and conquering things in life, multi-generation family. But I want to double down on what you said. You know, I mean, it's like, I wish people would follow my lead. I don't get caught up in recruiting anymore. I'm going to tell you why, because it's such a, with the transfer portal, NILs and the whole thing's a mess right now. I'm not consumed by it anymore because there's so many moving parts. It's not worth getting twisted up. Oh, that 23 class, we got to ramp it up now. You know, we got to get a quarterback, you know, and blah, 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 this and that. So I wish they'd follow my lead and just see what the canvas brings you in the fall when 2-a-days open and see who's there and then start focusing on Michigan football instead of this recruitment mentality. But also on CJ Carr, I get it totally. I mean, how do you, you know, there'd be a lot of pressure. I mean, Notre Dame is a great university, although good luck on that freshman calculus that everybody has to take. At least I thought that I wouldn't have got through there, that's for sure. No matter what sport you, no matter what, if you're an athlete or a student, it's a tough school academically, as is Michigan. But I get it. And what appalled me more than anything of this, John, was talking to some Michigan people who were appalled that he actually considered other schools like Georgia beyond just Michigan, and that really rolled my eyes. I like, wow, you need to take a deep breath and get a proper perspective on life.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The young man has a choice of anywhere he wants to go in the country. He is not bound just because of his last name to Michigan. I just don't. it can't work that way. So I appreciate your thoughts on that, and we'll all wish him the best regardless of the decision that he makes. We'll wish Eric Bakich and the baseball Wolverines the best in their off season, playing golf, working out with baseball, whatever it happens to be. But that off season did start yesterday in an 11-9 loss to Louisville. Big controversy in that game. I have my thoughts about that, the end of Michigan season, but I want to hear yours first on this topic.
Well, one of the beauties of being on the Wolverine podcast with John Borton, as opposed to public radio, whereas if I'd state my opinion like I'm stating it right now, I'd get, you know, whiners from, you know, the opposite, the rivals saying, oh, you know, sour grapes, oh, Michigan never, now always getting hosed, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't have to worry about that because we're in a niche audience right now. We're all on the same page. And Michigan did get hosed yesterday against Louisville on that call. I mean, I watched that replay 27 times like everybody else. And then you hear rumblings, oh, the umpire was a Louisville grad or something like that, or, you know, the whole bit. It reminded me of Ohio State in 2016. Yeah, Michigan gets hosed. I go back when I was a senior at Michigan in the Rose Bowl as a student, you know, and then, you know, Charles White had this phantom fumble, okay? And if they had replay back then, it would have been overturned. But, you know, Michigan, it seems like Michigan in crucial games is always, you know, there's controversy a lot either way. And I'll go back to Trey Burke against Louisville on that clean block. You remember that one late in the game, picked up Trey's fourth foul. I'm not saying the game turned on that dime, you know, on that dime, but I mean, that was you watch the last 7-10 minutes of that game, that was the play of the game, if you know what I mean. Michigan's chances of winning that game and ultimately winning a national championship that, you know, by Louisville was still, you know, didn't even count because they cheated. And then this thing yesterday. What I will say this about the baseball team, what a crazy year. The 12-12 Big Ten campaign. They have to win the Big Ten tournament. They win the Big Ten tournament. They play well right out of the chute. I saw what Eric did in the, you know, he threw, what did he throw, three pitchers in the first game, which I think was his goal is, we got to win game one. And I understand that you want to get in the winner's bracket, but maybe that, you know, the pitching woes of 20-1 and ultimately giving up 11 runs in the deciding game, the pitching just gave up from fatigue.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on the strangeness of the baseball season. It reminded me just a little bit of basketball because the season being kind of so-so, and all of a sudden you revive it, you save it to an extent in the postseason. Here's a team, as you mentioned, that Michigan's a 500 baseball team, and then all of a sudden, you know, you win the Big Ten tournament, and you are one win away from advancing to the next level. I understand the hugely hot feeling among Michigan fans about that particular call on the tag, where, you know, if he's out, you're out of the inning, and instead they immediately tie it and go on to score the two go ahead runs. Michigan had already had an amazing comeback. You're down 7-2, and it's, you know, you have a rain delay. It's like everybody is saying, all right, well, that's that. But it wasn't that. Michigan plays its way back in. So, yeah, that one gets tucked away, probably not as prominently as the phantom touchdown or Trey Burke's block that we get to see at least several times a year. Somebody will post that again and say, tell me this was a foul, which it was not. Here's my devil's advocate argument in this thing, not against the call wasn't wrong or anything like that, but my thing is, if you give up 31 runs in the two games of a series like that, you have bigger issues than one call, one tag, that sort of thing. And, you know, if you score 9 runs in what could have been your championship clinching game, and that's not enough, then you've got things that you have to address. The team that Eric Backich did take to the College World Series had really some superior pitching on it. And this one, it just, you know, it had issues already. Then it gets the guy suspended for various reasons. And all of a sudden, you know, you're just getting shelled in those last two games. So, I think that they need to advance. They've got some good young pitchers, but they need to develop them. They need to bring in more to where they can really be in a strong position to not have it come down to a single play.
Yeah, you know, something, you know, I'll admit on in the Sunday game that I'm trying to think of my date. Yeah, Sunday game. I watched that and it got to I think it got to 12-1, and then I just followed on. I couldn't take it anymore. I watched, admittedly, on via Twitter, keeping up. And when I got to 20-1, I'm thinking, my God, isn't there a mercy rule in college? It got to the point, are you just giving? It didn't have a good feel to it. You know what I mean? I know this game is daunting you of the chances of coming back, but are you giving up? And it just didn't resonate with me well that Michigan got blasted that much. And so I had serious doubts going into Monday's finale. Especially at 7-2 deficit, but I give them a lot of credit because baseball is a funny game. You know, I mean, you can flip the script pretty easily and get it going. But it's just like when Michigan, it's like when Michigan, historically, football, basketball, throw baseball in, when they make great, they've had a lot of scenarios where they make great comebacks, but then just fall a little bit short. They bring you back just to break your heart.
There you go.
You know what I mean? We can talk about football. We can talk about basketball, a lot of these things. And this, you know, I'm once again, I'm doing this in a vacuum from a Michigan perspective. Woe is us. But it seems like that happens a lot.
Yes. And while you mentioned Michigan football, if there was no mercy rule versus Ohio State in 2018 and 19, there can be no mercy rule in baseball. I'll just throw that at you. We're gonna veer off here real quickly to the NBA for a moment, because I know that is a sport and that level that you follow very closely, and certainly the young man that almost drove John Beilein crazy is having the last laugh in the NBA. That would be one Jordan Poole.
Yeah, Jordan Poole drove John Beilein crazy those last two Michigan State games, if you know what I mean, at the end of the 19 season, the Big Ten regular season capper, and then I think there was a Big Ten tournament in Chicago that I was sitting real near you. But Jordan Poole is an amazing young man, and he is a young man still. And I always tip my hat to athletes who recognize their own deficiencies and put in the work. And I read this story a while back, and then it was reiterated on the telecast about how when he was in the G League, when the COVID hit and the NBA closed down, you know, he didn't have anybody to work out with. He worked out, he got a trainer and worked on his game. And as good as Jordan Poole was at Michigan, and I thought he was a fun player to watch develop. And obviously, we're going to think about that Houston game in the second round, opening the door for a Sweet 16, ultimately a title game appearance. Jordan Poole hitting that shot at the buzzer, and that one running around the court, that will resonate, one of the greatest moments as a Michigan fan that I can recall, just because of the magic of the moment. But one thing I've noticed about Jordan is his game has really ramped up. His speed off the dribble drive penetration. He's a very unselfish player. You know, even when, you know, it's like in game one, when they lost, the Warriors lost to the Celts, he only took 7 shots in that game. And 2 of 7, he ended up with 9 points. And he's almost distributor first and shooter second. But we know how good he is from long range, and he hit the 39 footer, you know, right at the end of the third quarter, and he had 17 points, and Steph Curry showing him ultimate respect. And this is a great fit for Jordan Poole being on with the Splash Brothers and the Dubs, as they call them. I'm so happy for him. Probably Beeline. You know, Beeline, it's ironic. You know, you talked about drove Beeline crazy. Wasn't Beeline at Cleveland when he could have drafted Jordan Poole in that slot and opted not to? Maybe, you know, that's irony. I'm not, I got, someone threw that out. I got to poke at that some more and see if that was the truth. But real happy for Jordan Poole. I love watching Michigan players in the NBA. Even when Stauskas hit that three during mop-up time, I was happy for him.
There you go. Yeah, wish them all the best. It's fun to follow the Michigan players at the next level, and certainly Jordan Poole is one who is making a big name for himself in the NBA. We'll continue to watch that situation. Before I let you go, there was an event recently, a big send-off for Jim Brandstetter and Dan Dierdorf as the radio team that has been together for many years doing Michigan football. I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed I enjoy both those guys. They're so dedicated to Michigan football, and it's as much as I will say this, I am very already bought into the new crew with my good friend Doug Karsh and John Jansen, who I covered all the way from the time he was a tight end starting out at Michigan. I really appreciate these guys and the job that they've done, the outgoing guys. Your thoughts about them?
I think it's right. They had 300 at the Laurel Manor. I media got invited. I couldn't make it down. I heard it was a great event. I saw Ballas's write-up about it. I just think it I think it's great. Two old teammates from the Bo era, that early on up there. It was fun listening to them. You know, the only time you listen to them is, you know, it's like when we're in the media, go to the restroom and you can hear them in the radio. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about there.
I do.
And radio's different. Michigan broadcast is different. I mean, I go back to the days of Bob Ufer at WPAG back in the 60s. And by, you know, pretty much doing it on his own, I mean, he had a producer that would chime in on occasion, but early on, and then you had Tom Hemingway on WUOM, a public, you know, public broadcast. He had two contrasting styles, and radio was more important then, right? Because the TV wasn't deregulated, you know, so you had to, if you weren't at the game, you had to listen to it on the radio. Only one televised game. It was a bigger need. But I like what these guys have done. You know, over the years, I mean, I think that worked out good. I know Brandy got a little, you know, critiqued about he's more of a color guy than a play by play. I thought he corrected himself and got better in the few years he did that. And I agree with you. I think Jansen is tremendous. I think John is really good. I want intel. I want sophisticated, high level content from a former player who's been there. He was at the highest level in the NFL. Ben, it was a great player at Michigan, national champion. I want that, and I want Doug Karsh framing what's happening and capsulizing mm-hmm. what happening. And that's where it's sports talk radio, where you're kind of reframing everything in increments of time. And Karsh is very good at that. I think it's going to be a great team, to be honest.
Yeah. And Karsh is as plugged in as it gets. He's been down on the field for the last several years, and he has that unique perspective of being on the sidelines and talking to these guys. And so I think it's going to be a terrific team. We salute the guys that have been there. A good situation all around for Michigan radio listeners of the last several years and going forward. Nothing but thanks and praise for the veterans on the way out, and man, I'm excited about the crew that's coming in. So I would agree with you. I think there's a lot of good to be had all around, and we will talk about Michigan football extensively in our next podcast because we are coming right down the home stretch of one of your favorite times of the year, and that is the arrival of the Michigan the Wolverine football preview in your mailbox. So something to look forward to. We're working on those last few interviews and putting this thing together. So I would just say, Tom Crawford, look for it because it's coming.
Well, it's like Santa Claus, you know, Santa Claus is a kid for me, you know, on Christmas morning, open the mailbox, and there it is, the thing that I asked for Christmas. It's the Wolverine preview issue. Hey, now that the athletic academic calendar 21-22 has come to an end with baseball, pretty much, I think that's pretty much it, or close to, what a year it's been, John, and it's been great touching on those other sports, and can't wait to delve into football at our next podcast.
Here we go. We're coming. Thanks. Thanks much, Tom.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.